Speaking with Kay there during the music, and I'm glad to see. I just don't believe it. I don't know how you do it. You know, she has surgery. Says, "Nah, I'm coming home. I don't have to stay here overnight or nothing." You know, big old gash in my arm. Who cares? I'm going home. And you know, she called me, and I said, "I wasn't expecting you to call." It's like, I wasn't going to call you for another day or so. "Oh, I'm home. I'm doing fine," I thought. So you got your little pain thing there. Got your little dispenser. She's got a little dispenser there, her nerve block. She's about used it up. I was going to ask for some, but she told me it was almost empty. So I thought, no telling what kind of message they'll get if I take a hit of that pain stuff before I get up here. So only one pain pill? That's all you've taken for that? See what I mean? Wow. It just doesn't hurt. Yeah, God, yeah, he sure is. And wow. Well, I honor you. I do. I'm proud of you. And, you know, I'm having to watch some things. I'm having to watch some things now. And they've looked at both of my shoulders, and from parachute straps and, you know, so forth, and packs opening and jerking the daylights out of you. The rotor, I have inflammation in both of my rotor cups, and tendonitis and inflammation in those rotor cups. And I've been warned. They said, "You don't be doing stuff like this, or you tear that." And it's I don't want to tear a rotor cup, so it's starting to limit me on some things. But yeah, don't ever ask her. She wants to go. She's here. Well, I'm glad you did, and I pray that I'm going to try to make it worth your while. Because have the title of the message today is "Truth to Live By." Actually, they're truths, three of them, but this is truth to live by, and we need it. These are things that you need to keep in mind, that this is truth, no matter what. And I've had a lot of different reasons to have to be acquainted with this and be reminded. But I want to go to Malachi, because it's like, who? Malachi. It's right before Matthew. He wraps up the Old Testament. But in Malachi, there's an interesting passage. It's always interested me, and I believe the last time I really spoke about anything concerning this, my dates are right, somewhere back 2014, it's been years. But I was looking back at this, and it's like, you know, we can't miss this. So let's jump in Malachi chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. And it said, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other." I really pay attention to this, because this is just not Old Testament stuff. This is Bible truth. But it said, "Those who feared the Lord talked with each other." Okay, that's wonderful. But look what happens. "And the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name." Have you ever read that, thought about this passage? I remember it was years ago, I danced around this in a message and hit it a little bit. But it came back, and it's like, do you realize what this is saying? See, things like this can slip by us, but it's saying that people who feared the Lord talked with each other, and God heard them. That's what it's saying. And it's the same God, and we're the same kind of people. So what's it saying? When we talk of the Lord, he's listening. And he heard these people speak of him, and he actually had a scroll brought before him, written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. What's it saying? God listened when the people spoke of him, and he wrote down their names and what they said. Now that ought to catch our attention. That's powerful stuff. And God is the same God, and we're just people. And it's like, whoa, does that hit you? I mean, it's like, he writes it down in a book, and he wants it remembered. And it says He was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. And here's what he said about them, you and me, all of us. He said, "They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I take up my treasured possession." Now look what he says. "I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again," and here's what he promises, see, but especially to these who, you and me and all who speak of his name to each other, he said, "You will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." Now, if you want something to give you hope, take it from this. One, God writes it down when you speak of him. He's listening. I guess he's the universal eavesdropper. But God listens to everything we say. Well, and that's scary, isn't it? You know, because there's some things that we say that we really wish he wouldn't pay attention to. But he's listening, especially when we speak of his name. And it said those who feared the Lord, and that means respected him, honored him, revered him, loved him. They spoke with each other. You know, they were whispering and talking, and the Lord is Almighty, Lord is power. Whatever they were saying, God and El God is our great God, and he's a forgiving, loving, healing God. He wrote that down, and he put their name by it. And he said, you speak of me. I make note of it. And I don't, what happens if we don't speak up? I don't even want to know. It doesn't go there, but we can pretty much guess. And then he said, "I'll spare you when I take up my treasured possession." But here's another thing that hits me before we get into some points here, because I won't be able to build on all of this, but so just part of it. But he said, "You will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." And listen, friends, he said, "You will again see that." We need that now, and I'm trusting God as we go through this and we become aware of this, that God is doing this for us, and we'll do it right now. Because it's really hard these days when you go out and about to tell the difference between the righteous and the wicked. That's why Jesus said, "By their fruits, you'll know them." I had an incident, I'll just put it this way. Just a few days ago, this past week, and a guy talked to me on the phone, and he gave me this big Christian spiel, talked all the right words, and how much he just loves Christian people, and asked me what I did, and I told him, "Oh, I love ministers," and blah 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 blah, and so we arranged a meeting, and we met, and before it was over, he started trying some crooked things, and he tried to talk me into something not real good, and it was like, "You talked a big show to get me to visit with you, and then when I get with you, by their fruits you'll know them," and it wasn't good. And it's like, friends, God, we have to have discernment, and God says we will again see that distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Don't be persuaded by somebody that talks a good talk or even prays a good prayer with you, that if you're not real sure of them, wait for their fruits. Don't make a business deal. Don't go do something just because they talk that show. I've had many a person tell me, you know, "Oh, when I was dating with so-and-so or going with them, and they wanted to go to church, and they did all this. And then as soon as we got married, they didn't want to do that anymore." And it's like you were so caught up emotionally, you weren't seeing the lack of fruit. You weren't seeing, you just weren't looking, because Jesus said, "By their fruits you'll know them." And he said, "I can guarantee if you watch for a person's actions and their words, and you know, how are they outside here? What do other people say about them? What's their reputation? How does their family feel about all that kind of, check it out." Anyway, this thing, it started going south, and so we ended that deal, and it was like, you're not legit, and you got to do that. And people try to fool you. And he said, "You'll know the difference between the righteous and the wicked, but between those who serve God and those who do not." And friends, we need to know that. Now listen to me. I'm not up here to harp on something. I'm here to just tell you straight. There's a lot of people that's run on, they run for office on Christian tickets, and we've seen this in the past. And we can go back several presidents and look at some presidents who've run on the Christian ticket. And oh my goodness, they sang in choirs and they did this and that. And you may not remember any of this, but I sure do. And one particular president and all, you know, and oh, they were members of a Baptist church and they sang in a choir and they were blah, 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 and got in there and it turned out to be the, and you're saying, yep, by their fruits you'll know them. So don't fall for the words. Don't fall for fancy prayers, because people can learn to pray church prayers. Yeah, and if you listen to enough people pray, you can figure out how to really move people, and you know, with a prayer. The best prayers and the most effective prayers I've ever heard were those from the heart, and words weren't pronounced correctly, and it wasn't smooth. It was ragged and rugged, and God listened. And so today, pay attention. There's, you know, I even hear this in people. And you know, they're in office or they're running for office, whatever. And they say, well, I'm a member of this denomination or I'm of this faith. You know what you need to do with that? Nothing. Don't be impressed. I want to see the fruit. I want to see the fruit. What's the fruit in your life? Do you live any of it? And you know, you can. I don't care what denomination you are, or what background you are, and all that kind of stuff. It's what are you doing in your life? What you know? Do you stand for God's word? Do you stand for life? Do you stand for freedom? Do you stand for God, for Jesus Christ? I want to know that. Care what, where you're from. You get the idea. And we've seen this happen, and I was fooled by some people in my past way back there, and I still get fooled today. And people try to con me. People try to con pastors like they do all of us. And oh, they talk a good talk and they want you to promote their program or you put your name on something. Friend, don't ever put your name on anything because somebody says it's Christian. You better check that fruit before you get involved. And for me and what I do, oh, you know. So anyway, but take hope from this. Every time you speak on the Lord, look at what He was doing, and still is. That's written down. It's recorded, and He says they'll be mine, says the Lord, and we'll know this distinction. I want to know the difference between good and evil, don't you? I want to know the difference between those who serve God and those who do not. I want to know who is and who isn't. And nobody's perfect. You can't expect people to just be perfect. But you know what? I especially see people and know they're of God. It's when they do mess up. Here's where you can tell real Christian people. They don't try to blame. They don't try to make an excuse. When a real Christian messes up, they admit they messed up. They are sorry and they ask forgiveness. And they don't say, well, it was so-and-so's fault, or you looked at me funny, you know. I've heard this so many times. I've gotten in trouble so many times with this. It's your tone of voice that caused me to get mad. It's your expression on your face. Well, I'm sorry about that, you know. And I know there's times we can look at someone and their expression just makes us want to just, you know. But to use that as an excuse to go off on them, well, you know, and it's like, why don't you just ask them, why are you looking at me like you just ate a sour persimmon? Just ask them, are you unhappy? That expression on your face, you know, looks like you've got a loose tooth in there or something. And so, you know, just ask each other instead of just going off. But all the stuff that I hear of why one person got mad at another person, and it's like, oh, here's another one, you know, and it's like I was talking to them and they looked at something else. I've heard that one before. Now, that can be aggravating. It can, you know, but the things that distract us, and I'll tell you something, and it's true. If somebody's talking to me about something really serious, whether it is or not, it's my life calling. I focus on them. If, though, out of the corner of my eye, I see this beautiful buck walking across wherever, and I'm trying to, and they're talking, pouring out their heart, and oh, and then this, and then my depression, and yeah, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I'm divided. I can't help it, and we all do it. And so, you know, and it's like, and I've had people say, "Are you distracted?" And I've actually, you try to be honest. It's like, give me one moment. Yeah, let me get refocused. And that happens to all of it, and it's happened to me. And you know, I was talking to one anyway. In one conversation and way up high, but you could hear them, you know, a bunch of those sandhill cranes came over and they get to circling up there and they're making that noise. And I did everything I could. And finally I had to say, can we wait just a minute? Do you hear that? I tried to make it like it was something mysterious, like maybe a bomb's falling or something. Do you hear that? Do you hear that strange sound up there? Yeah, what is that? And it gave me an excuse to stop that conversation. Oh, look, there's sandhill cranes up there. And I just mesmerized by it. Then we got back in. Anyway, the point being, listen, you can tell when someone is a legit Christian when they're honest about what they're doing and who they are. If you're distracted, tell somebody you're distracted. If you can't listen, tell them I can't listen. Don't fake it. Everybody with me? And friends, I can't stress this enough. Real, true Christianity shows itself when we really blow it. When we say those cuss words, when we lose that temper, when we get real judgmental and we just say a bunch of stuff, here's where you see where the Christian is and where, man, with the doubtful situation, because the real Christian will be convicted by the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Spirit in a minute. And the real, legit, born-again believer in Christ will be convicted. They'll say it. They'll do it. We're human. But then there's that, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I lost my cool. I said a bunch of words. I reacted to your expression. And it wasn't you. It's me. I can't justify what I did because you had an expression, even if it was, you know, nasty. And it doesn't matter. You see, don't justify it. Be honest. That's what a Christian does. We're just straight with our behavior, and if we blow it, we blow it. And we ask forgiveness. How many times have you tried to deal with someone who was blaming you for their outburst or their reaction? It was somebody else's fault. It goes back. Who was that way back there when that used to say the devil made me do it? Who was that? Flip, thank you, Flip Wilson. You know, the devil made me do it. Oh, yeah, sure he did. You know, you made me mad. How many, have we ever said that to each other? You make me mad. And when you think about that, you know, we can do some aggravating things, but can anybody really make you choose to be mad? No, that's the word. We choose to be mad. Now, some people don't help, but you get the idea. Anyway, we got to move on. The whole point of this is that God is listening. Do you hear this? This message is God is listening, and he's writing us down in our name, and he's putting when we speak of him. And I know that also when we speak of him and say, God, forgive me for that thought, forgive me for those words, that action, or I look to you and I say, forgive me, I failed you. I shouldn't have said that. I lost my cool. God's listening to that too, and he's making note of it. But let's move on, and I'll give you this first point. These are truths. This is truth right here. This Malachi thing just knocks me over when I look at it, and it's so easily passed by. Who knows about Malachi? But there it is. Usually what you hear, just note this, usually what you hear from the book of Malachi is a passage that comes before this about tithing. If you read over there, you'll hear more pastors preach on this than anywhere else. And it says, bring your tithe into the storehouse and all that, you know, and see if I will. God said, that's the only place in Scripture God ever said, test me. He said, test me in this and see if I won't open up the storehouse of heaven and pour out so many blessings you can't contain it. That's what you hear, and about all you hear ever preached in the book of Malachi. That's a great message. However, this one today is to give us encouragement. You may feel like you're not doing too much. You may feel like, what can I accomplish for the Lord? Speak of him. Speak of him. Praise him. Read his word out loud. God's taking notes. So let me give you this point here. The Lord, listen, the Lord will fulfill his work and will in you. God will fulfill His work, His will in you. He won't quit. All these things, this book of remembrance, and I just want you to take some hope, these truths to live by. I want to give you these passages that tie into this. God's taking note of those who speak to the Lord. What else? And so to tie in with that, what else is God doing for His people? You, His people. I want to give you Philippians 1:6. And you can jot this down. This won't, all this stuff won't be up here. There's just things that I put in sometimes if I have time, and if I don't, and then I leave them out and use them next time. But Philippians 1:6 says, being confident. I needed this encouragement, by the way, and here recently. Being confident of this, listen to this. He said, being confident of this, that He, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 1:6. Did you get it? He said, I'm confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Listen to me. This is important. He's writing this down. He knows who you are. He knows you love Him. Now, get this. When you sin, when you mess up, when we all do, when you have one of those bad days and it's just not working out for you, and you begin to doubt with some of the things you think and say, you know, am I even saved or not? You take courage and you take hope, because let me tell you right now, no matter how far you go and how much you blow it, God is a loving God. And when we cry out to Him, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, this has not been my day, and He's probably, not, I'm sure, saying, sure has it been, I don't know. And you know, but when we acknowledge that, listen to me, it says if we confess our sins before God, that's over in 1 John, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You keep that in mind. And when we do that and we confess, because we're not perfect, we're to strive for perfection, to be whole and mature as He is, but we're not. Our whole lifetime spending and getting there. But no, the point is this. This Philippian passage tells us, look, He's writing our name down. He knows all this about us. He's listening and watching all the time. But it says God is going to continue that good work in you. And get this. He's going to continue His good work whether you blow it or not. You keep it in mind. God never stops working His good work in His people. And I need that, and you need that. Because we're just not perfect and we have our bad days. Does it mean he won't chastise it? Does it mean that he'll get our attention and He'll convict us? But He's not going to stop His good work. He says, being confident of this, that the Lord who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So no matter what, God won't stop His work in you and me. And I'm a living personal testimony, and most of all of you have heard it. So I don't, you know, but just to skim over, I left the church. I left the ministry. I mean, I left it. And I wanted to leave it all behind. And I didn't, I didn't even know who it was. I was completely out there. Didn't care much what happened. Not really much at all. It was a rough, rough time. And was I wanting to live for God? Was I wanting to preach again and all? No. And I told God, I'll never go through this again. I went through a hard, grueling church experience. Terrible time. And it just, anyway. But even in that process, me telling God I won't do it again, God, in His wonderful, gentle way, was saying, you know, I have a scroll of remembrance here. And I've used you to bring this word and this word and this word. That wasn't all ringing in my head at the time, but this was became so real, because what happened was He was saying, and I realized what was happening later, like we do looking back, and I'm telling God, no, never again. I'm not going to ever go through this. There's no way I'll pastor church again. And God was saying, but I have started a good work in you, and I will complete it. I read later in Scripture, God said, my calling and gifts are irrevocable. And I had to realize I called you, son, to do something, and you can run like Jonah, but I'm going to raise up a big fish, and it's going to swallow you. And it did. Life swallowed me. I couldn't get anything to work. I couldn't find a job that'd work. I couldn't get anything to work. It was horrible. And then I realized, because God raised up a big fish, you know, there's a big, real fish that swallowed Jonah, but there is also the fish of life that'll swallow you. And it can comprise oppression, it comprises depression. I mean, but God will raise up where life doesn't benefit you at all until you say yes to God. But what's he doing? He's fulfilling his good work in you. And we take it that God's punishing us, that God's mad at us, that God's out to get us. And God's saying, I am out to get you, but not in the way you think. I'm out to get you back in my will, because I love you. And I said, I'd never leave you forsaken. And I'm not going to. That's the God we serve. I had to live it so one day God would say, you know, I'm going to put you back in this, even though you're telling me now you're not going to do it. But, you know, yes, you are. I've thought so much of Jonah. It's like Jonah said, not me, man. I'm not going to Nineveh. I hate those Ninevites. And you know, so what happened? Well, he got swallowed up. And, you know, facing the Ninevites versus being inside of a big old fish, whatever it was, some say a whale, it didn't make a difference. Floating around in there, I'll go to the Ninevites. Wouldn't you? By the way, we'll have a message on that one of these days on Jonah. If you never studied that history, there's a reason that he didn't want to go to Ninevites. At that time, they were some of the most cruel, barbarous, vicious people on the planet. They did things to torture people that was unbelievable, and you or me, neither one would want to go and bring a message that God is going to destroy you people if you don't repent, when he knew that one of their favorite things was take a live human being and then pound them on a wooden stake and let them just hang there for days dying. Who wants to go to Nineveh? That's why he said, let them burn. Humanly speaking, can you blame him? But God is not human. He became human in Jesus Christ. And so you say, well, what's the point here? This isn't about Jonah. No, I tell you what it's about. I'm sharing my experience. I pulled that stunt. I did everything I could not to be doing this, because I got hurt over and over and over, to the point where hurt, listen to me, I was hurt to the point to where hurt was louder than the Holy Spirit. My hurt was louder than the Word of God. My hurt was screaming at me all the time. I was living in emotional pain constantly. And I learned how overwhelming that kind of pain can be. I was in spiritual pain because I couldn't understand why all this was allowed to happen. Is everybody with me? I couldn't understand how I'm giving my best here trying to pastor this church, and I'm getting beat to death and ridiculed and gossiped about and attacked and called all kinds of names and on and on and on and on. There was no way at the present to understand that God, who began a good work in me, will complete it. I didn't think he was doing anything, and he was. You know what he's doing? He was saying, I have to let you go through this so that one day you can help other people who go through this. I'm going to let you experience this kind of pain because, son, I'm going to use you in that kind of ministry. And that's what I put you here for, and you have to know what they feel like. They've got to be able to identify with the messages that I'm going to bring through you, because I want you to bring it from the heart. I want you to bring it with feeling. I wanted you to bring it with conviction. But I want you to bring it with experience, to say, I know this stuff works and how it is because I've been there, done that. And so that's what's happening here today. That's what happens in a lot of these messages. This isn't because Tony's some great scholar of the Bible. It's because God has put me through a bunch of things to say, this way you can hear the heartbeat of my people. You can feel what they feel. You can help them. That's why we go through the things we go through. But all along, God was working his work, and he was not letting me go, and he's not in you. You may think that you're a million miles away from God, and God is right there in your life, right there in your heart as a Christian, and he is continuing to complete his work, his purpose, his will that he put you on this earth for. And though you don't feel it, God is doing it. He has written a scroll of remembrance about you. And he has, in another passage it says, he writes our name in the palm of his hand and sees it every day. It ties in with this. It's beautiful. Look that up. I didn't even write it down, but you can find it. And it's all beautiful. It's like God doesn't forget his people even when his people try to forget him. He keeps working his work. He put you and me here for purpose. And he's going to fulfill that work. And that's all there is to it. So he's always working. And listen to me. Secondly, something I had to learn the hard way, and you do too. Our needs, my needs, your needs, cause us to be dependent on God and not ourselves and not the world. Yeah, it's all about God. And our needs, he lets those needs be there. And we're thinking, don't you care? Don't you hear? I need, I need, I need. And he said, I know you do. But I'm wanting you to let go of believing that the government's going to do it, or your job's going to do it, or the church is going to do it, or the pastor will do it, or your husband will do it, or your wife will do it, whatever. I want you to depend on me and know that I will do it. And the sooner you get there, the sooner we can get you blessed. It's true. And my needs are there to cause me to be dependent on God so that God gets the glory. You may have something physically happen to you and you have to have some medical attention. And you say, man, I need a doctor. You need God working through the doctor. And God wants our attitude to be that. I need God's gifting and working through a physician to help me, but it's God doing it, using the hands of others. That's how he often works. And he can heal directly, but he often uses people because he's put them here to be his instruments. So your needs, my needs, will keep me dependent on God. And then listen to this. God often allows a need in our lives. Listen to this. God often allows a need in our lives so that he can give us something better. As we pray about the need, as we finally weed out all the stuff we're looking at to rescue us, and we focus on God, and we finally realize that God and God alone is our source of deliverance, God uses that to bring me to something better. He said, I don't want you just continuing right there. I want to give you something better. But I want you to focus on me so you can hear me, and so you'll give me the credit and the glory when it happens. And always remember that whatever your needs, your concerns, your worries in life, they're not the real issue. God is the real issue. Everything that happens, it's not about you. It's not you. It's not the world. It's not politics. It's not all of it. All of this stuff, I really have looked at, and I don't know how far to go with this, but I'll go a ways. Many things happening right now that make us so upset in our media and our government and all that, I keep asking myself, or maybe God keeps asking me, do you really think that that's the real issue? Those are issues. Or is the issue because so many of my people begin to trust politicians, trust the government and its agencies and this and that and this and that. They begin to trust that to rescue them instead of me. We get to trusting too much in the things and not the God who made the things. God made the government. You see, and we get worried about retirement, Social Security, and all this kind of stuff, and it's like, that's not the issue. God is. God is the issue. Don't give credit to the government. Don't give glory to this organization. Give it to God for using that, but give it always to God. God's the real issue. And I've seen the things happen in this country. Am I happy about a lot of them? No. Am I happy about what could happen in the future? No. But I know that God is the God of the present and the God of the future. And the sooner I call out to him and focus everything on him, the sooner God can fix whatever it is out there. And he can fix it. Well, let's move on. I want to give you this as encouragement today. God has the answer before you ask him. God has the answer before you ask. In Isaiah 65, verse 24, This one to catch you off guard is like, what? That's what he says in Isaiah 65, verse 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. That's the God we serve. Before you even ask, he's already answering. He's already got it. He just wanted you to come to the point where you're trusting, asking him, trusting him, instead of all these other things. God wants you to just let it go and turn to him. You know, he'll take care of it. He said, if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, I'll give you all these things you're worried about and that you need. And so it'll come to pass that before you call, he'll answer. And while you're still speaking, he'll hear. All right, let me give this other, and we're going to start wrapping this up. Jesus, listen. I want you to go out here today, and I know you know this, but you need to hear it again. Jesus loves you and he cares for you. No matter what. No matter how much you've blown it, others have blown it, no matter where you are or not with God, God loves you. He's begun a work in you, he'll complete it, and he loves you. 1 Peter 5 says this, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. He said, cast all your anxiety on God. Why? Because God cares for you. Now, I want to tell you something. God cares for you, and I'll tell you what else he cares about. God cares when you hurt, when you grieve, when you worry about your health. God cares about your husband. He cares about your wife. He cares about your kids. He does care about this government. He does care about the future. Cares about today and he cares about tomorrow. God cares about what happens to you. God cares because he loves you. He's written your name down. All this ties into this. He's watching you every moment. God knows everything that's happening. There's no surprises to him. God really cares. And he's answering before you even get to ask. While you're still speaking, he's hearing all this. Jesus Christ cares about everything in your life. If you're grieving today, if you're worried today, if you're suffering and struggling, you don't know what to do today, God cares and he has the answer before you even ask. You say, well, where is it? And he says, keep on asking and you'll receive. Keep on seeking, you'll find. Keep on knocking, the door will be open. He wants you to keep drawing closer and closer into him where you reach that place where it's you and God alone. And I'm telling you, your answer will come and it'll be a great answer. It'll be a godly answer. It'll be a blessed answer. God loves you. God cares. Jesus cares about everything in your life. What's his purpose? Let me give you these things real quick. Jesus' purpose is to save. His nature is to give abundantly. His ministry is teaching you about God. And his peace is freedom. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So his purpose is to save, his nature is to give abundantly, his ministry is teaching, his peace is freedom. All this is for you. We've been bringing messages for the last several weeks and or months now, and they've been on the things that God requires of us and wants from us. But today you need to hear what God wants to do for you and how he's involved. It's not one-sided. God is a giving God, and he just wants you to be encouraged today that he's on your side. He's working a work in you, and I want to close with this. And to help you do all this, to help you stay on track, he gives you his Holy Spirit to help you. He doesn't just stop with a bunch of words. He gives you his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's given to you the moment you receive Jesus Christ into your heart. God gives you his Holy Spirit. And let me tell you what he's here to do. One, he's here to bear fruit. You say, what kind of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Just mark this down. I won't explain them all. Just read them. But what's the fruit of the Spirit that God is here to infect in our lives? He wants you to have love and joy, peace, long-suffering. I don't like that word, long-suffering. I'm not a long-suffering person in some areas. That word really it means more patience. Does anybody here struggle with patience? Okay. All right. You know, if I'm boiling water for oatmeal, I don't know why it won't boil if I'm staring it down telling it to. You ever wondered about that? Why, when you're looking at something, does it take you so long to do anything? I'm reminded, what was that old expression, a watch pot doesn't boil or something like that, right? Yeah, see. And I'll sit there just staring at it like, God, it's been 34 seconds. Wasting half my life here watching this thing. So anyway, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives me love and He gives me joy and peace and He gives me patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. And this one here that we all need so badly, self-control. He wraps the fruit of the Spirit up with self-control. I'm looking out here. I don't see anyone. Does anyone need self-control in here? Oh, there's hands. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Anybody else? Anyone over here? Yeah. Okay, really? Okay. I'm glad we got this. Well, that's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And you say, what does that mean? That's what the Holy Spirit is working in you. That's part of God's good work working in you. He is working to create self-control. And He's saying, give it to me. Don't react to that expression. Don't react to that tone of voice. A lot of marriages would be happier if we quit doing that, by the way. Ignore it. You know, just think in your heart what your parents used to tell you, a lot of you, when you were kids. If you keep making that expression, it's going to stick that way. You remember that? So you can just say that in your heart. Go ahead. God's going to make it let you stick that way one of these days, and you'll be stuck like that. And that was especially true. You remember the little game? I can't hardly do it anymore. It hurts my eyes. Remember how kids used to cross their eyes? And oh, my goodness, they'd scare us to death and say, you better stop that. They're going to stick that way. They kept us from eating seeds, you know, like watermelon seeds and all the seeds and stuff, because kids just swallow everything. And they tell you, if you don't stop that, you're going to wake up in the morning and there's going to be a vine growing out your nose. Well, every time your nose has started itching or whatever, you've a little kid, you know, you're looking to see if there's a leaf sticking out yet. You know, so you can just say in your heart, you know, you don't have to say it to anybody. You go ahead and make that expression. You just go ahead and do like that, and it's going to grow right out your nose, and you're going to stick like that. And everybody will see just what I see every day in my life. Okay, that's enough. I'm not supposed to be tacky with this, but the Holy Spirit will help you bear fruit, and He'll give you that self-control, and He'll give you that patience, or whatever it is, in the fruit of the Spirit that you need. And a bunch of us need peace. There's no peace in the world. There's no peace in this country right now. It's a torn up place. But God wants you to have peace. It's not the kind of peace He's talking about. He's talking about the peace of heart that no matter what, God has me and He's working through me. He'll make this happen. I want to wrap this up. It's time to close. So, and He'll bear fruit. The Holy Spirit is here to help me and bear fruit, to help me fulfill all these things that God wants done in my life. And secondly, He's here to teach me what I need to know about Jesus. You can't learn the Word of God without the power of the Holy Spirit, the help of the Holy Spirit. And John 14, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things, and He will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. There it is. The Holy Spirit will teach you everything Jesus has put in His Word. He will bring it to your remembrance. Thirdly, keep your head. Listen, here's one thing the Holy Spirit works on us constantly to do, to keep our head and our heart in the right place. Every time, for me, I just don't watch the news because I get upset. And the Holy Spirit's here to keep my head and my heart in the right place. And where's that? In Christ. Don't let the devil use things out here to distract you from who you are and who God is in your life. And when you start letting it bother you, bring it back and claim the authority of Jesus over it and over yourself. And I'll tell you one last thing, and then we're done. What else does the Holy Spirit do besides all this? He's here to put music in my soul. And friends, some of you need to be dancing to a little music in your soul instead of stomping around mad. It just doesn't, anger doesn't accomplish anything. And Ephesians 5 says this, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. He said, that really messes you up, causes you to do bad things. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks for always, for all things, to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're saying, what is he really saying? He's saying, I want to give you a harmony in your heart that flows out of your life and causes people to dance to a godly tune when you're around. I want you to have an expression and words and demeanor that just cause people to stop and have peace for a moment, that makes them smile for a moment, that just encourages them with all this crud that's out there. And we bring it back to its focus as we close. God gives you the Holy Spirit to make all this happen. We need to be reminded that He cares for us. That before we ask, He's already answering. But the most important thing is this, and I close with it. Those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. You know the rest. And I'm telling you today, God's listening. And He's writing a scroll of remembrance. And He knows you. And He knows you love Him. And He loves you eternally. And from the heart of the living God, I can give you this. God will cause all things to work to the good of you, those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. God is going to make it okay. Keep your heart and mind in Him. He's got you written down. He remembers. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the blessings and the power of it. We thank You for the strength of it. God, we just praise the almighty name of the living God, Jesus Christ, Lord of lords and King of kings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you very much for being here this day.
Hallelujah.
You're welcome.